The passages can be very cold and overwhelming, sometimes getting lost, but it's comparatively speaking a small building. You will master it in no time. What we do need to master quickly are the rules and structures. So I wish to welcome all of us back and say that something which I really detest is to start the very first meeting late. But I do understand that the whips, the chief whips, were meeting and that they had not exhausted their business before we started. May I just beg that the next time please hold your business and finish your business before you delay our business, which you are an integral component of. I wish to therefore put the draft agenda for your consideration. But before I do that, if there are any apologies, do we have any apologies in this inaugural meeting? None? None. Then I put the draft agenda for your consideration, please. Does everybody have a draft agenda for this meeting? No. Thank you very much. Has everybody gotten a copy of the draft agenda? Yes? Yes. The draft agenda is in front of you. Please consider it. Is there anything we should reprioritize? Is there anything you wish us to omit or to add? Thank you very much. I have no comments. Can I propose that we adopt it? Thank you very much. We therefore are on item number 3, which is that we look at the guidelines and the determination. I wish to then recognize Mr. Klasso.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and good morning to honorable members. Page 1 of the document, we start with the sequence of questions. In terms of the Rules Committee must establish the sequence in which members may put questions to the Executive. For reference purposes, we have indicated what obtained in the 5th Parliament, that the sequence was spread over 15 opportunities within the allocated 3 hours for the question. And we have put the order that was followed previously. And the proposal this time around is that 17 opportunities be followed, and we have given the various options. If you took 15 opportunities, how many each of the parties would be entitled to? 16 opportunities, 17 opportunities. But what we do need to state at the outset is that if the principle of proportionality is applied strictly, some of the parties would not get a single opportunity on most of the business that the House does when it comes to opportunities, whether you're talking about member statements or questions and stuff. And therefore the proposal is that 17 opportunities be followed, and we have put the order that those opportunities would take, and how many opportunities the ANC would have, the Democratic Alliance would have, the Economic Freedom Fighters, IFP, FF Plus, and the other parties have been grouped into 3. This is not new. Previously we had 3 groups, and we have followed the principle of 3 groups this time around, and they would have 1 each opportunity in this regard. Now, if you were to follow again the principle of proportionality, the ANC would have 9 opportunities, on 17, and the DA would have four opportunities, and of course the EFF would still be with two opportunities. But the proposal is that the ANC has seven. This is consistent with what the ANC had previously, and the DA would have three, and the EFF would have two opportunities as the formula gives. So, Madam Speaker, that is the one on the opportunities sequence of questions. I do not know if I should go through all the items, the clustering of government portfolios, or I should pause at this point for interactions.
Do we wish to engage with this particular one? Thank you. I've got Honourable Steynhuisen, Honourable Swart.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. And may I, in this first Rules Committee, formally congratulate you on your election as Speaker. So we look forward to working with you. Madam Speaker, I think that that we have to go with the proposal as agreed. The Constitution is clear at Section 57(2)(b) that we have to provide an opportunity for minority parties to participate in the internal activities. So while the bigger parties do take a slight hit, I think it means that we are then consistent with the constitutional requirement that smaller parties are able to participate.
Thank you, Speaker, and also congratulations from our side. Could I just comment on the grouping of the smaller parties when we look at the grouping 1, 2 and 3? If you take the number of members of parliament that it then relates to, if you take group 1, you've got ACDP with 4, UDM with 2, ATM with 2, which gives you 8 members of parliament. If you take group 2, you've got 5 members of parliament, and group 3, 5 members. And so I would just ask you to consider whether that is equitable, considering the number of, yes, the number of political parties is 333, but the number of members of parliament is not equitable. And so it could be consideration that you have group 1, ACDP 4, UDM for example 2, which gives you 6 MPs, and then the ATM for example could drop down, which would be more equitable for a consideration, Chair. But that's just from our side. Thank you very much, Speaker.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody who wants to that is in?
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and congratulations again, and good day, colleagues. No, I would like to support Honourable Swart in that, because from experience that we've had in the past parliament, we found that some parties were, you know, only had a turn 5-6 weeks later. And I think the suggestion of regrouping within those three groups will make a lot more sense. Thank you.
Honorable Lakuda, is your hand up? Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker, to join my colleagues on congratulating you as our speaker in this National Assembly. So we want to suggest that and agree with those who proposed that we have this sequence of ANC 7 and the other group 1. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you. Do I understand, Ms. Lakute, that we do not want to look at the regrouping as suggested by the Honourable Swart and seconded by Ndadaye Smit?
We can look at the regrouping as suggested.
Can we then close it at that and say we can re-look at it and then maybe take a decision at the next rules on it? Thank you very much. So we continue, Ndadaye Paso.
Just to understand the proposal, is that we move ATM to group 2. Is that how it is?
Honourable Speaker, if you want to have the three groups with equal number of members, it should then move to group 3, ATM. Then it's 6, 6, and 6 members in each group.
Ndadaye Shibambu?
No, thanks, Honourable Speaker, and welcome to the National Assembly. If that is the proposal, I don't think we must take the decision in the next Rules Committee. Let's take a decision now.
So we adopt this position?
Yes, we adopted 666 and then we proceed. That we don't have to defer it.
Okay, we are agreed.
Sure.
We move.
The second one, Madam Speaker, is the clustering of government portfolios. We have had previously five clusters, and we propose that we have the same five clusters, except that this time around the departments in each cluster in some respects are fewer, which is good for Parliament in terms of the number of opportunities to ask questions to the respective state departments. And therefore we have cluster one, peace and security, with those departments, which is defense, military veterans, home affairs, international relations, justice, police, and state security. Cluster two, basic education, health, higher education, science and technology, human settlements, water and sanitation, social development, sports, arts, and culture. Cluster three, cooperative governance, traditional affairs, minister in the presidency, and minister in the presidency for women, youth, and persons with disabilities, public service and administration. Cluster four, agriculture, land reform and rural development, and communications, telecommunications and postal services, employment and labor, environment, forestry and fisheries, finance, and mineral resources. So another cluster, another economics cluster, public enterprises, public works and infrastructure, small business development, tourism, trade and industry, transport. In other words, your clusters will be peace and security, social services, cluster two, cluster three, governance, economics cluster one, or cluster four, and another economics cluster as cluster five. That is the proposal.
Floor is open for your comments, members. That is it.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. No particular problem with that, but I'd just like to ask a question. To what extent has this clustering been consulted with Cabinet? Do they have a similar kind of clustering, or are they aware of what their clustering is going to be, or not? Because there should be some kind of meeting each other.
We have not consulted. Dr. Ndlozi, the Honourable.
Thanks, Speaker. I think the question is wrong. We must not consult Cabinet. We must separate powers. The principle is very clear, and I hope that the Honourable Chief Whip of the IFP understands. This is our clustering. Whatever clustering they have should not concern us. We're clustering them this way. We're going to hold them accountable this way. So I move that we agree on this proposal and move on.
Honourable members, there's a proposal to adopt. Are we agreeing? Thank you very much. Can we move on, that Kaso?
Next one relates to member statements. Previously, we had 16 opportunities for member statements, and we now have 14 parties. Previously, we had 13 parties. We are recommending that the opportunities be increased from 16 to 17 in order to allow as many parties an opportunity to make a statement during that session. And we have given the order that would be followed. So the ANC in that instance would have 7 opportunities, DA 3, EFF 2, FP1, FF plus 1, and of course the groups will be put together as proposed, as decided in this meeting, but the principle will remain the same. Thank you, ma'am.
Are we agreed? Thank you very much. That's adopted. Can we move on?
The same principle obtains in respect of motions without notice. We had 22 motions without notice. The idea was that all parties should have an opportunity to give a motion without notice, and the slots are not transferable. So we are proposing that we increase that to 23 motions without notice on any given day when that item is part of the business of the day. And we have given the order as well. Notices of motion, we think the principle should be adopted except that the NAPC, the National Assembly Program Committee, would be the correct body to decide on the notices of motion. But we will recommend the same principle when it gets to that body. Thank you, ma'am. So we move to 23 from 22.
Are we agreed? We are agreed. Can we move, please?
The next item relates to allocation of whips to parties. We have given three scenarios. We thought it's important that we give this picture. Oh, I think that I had.
I thought, Speaker, sorry, can I speak? All right, thank you. No, before we proceeded, we want to request immediately here a discussion about time allocation for debates, because I think that's what's missing. How many minutes is a normal debate, and how do we allocate it or split it across political parties? Because we would insist, whatever the case, we must always speak 10% of the time. 10 point, which is 11% of the time. Whatever that time is, we must always speak 11% of the time as the EFF. But I thought that might be an opportunity here before we move to other things. It might be difficult to come back.
I think that what we want to establish in this meeting is your routine, and you take other matters to the programming committee, because depending on the subject matter that is going to be debated, there might be a time difference. But I get your point. You are saying that as a matter of principle, the EFF says that it will get 11% of whatever times. Can we take it there and discuss there whether in principle we are saying percentages are like this? Because even there, we must then always bear in mind that there are smaller parties that must also have a slot in whatever matter is before the House. If we can agree with that and just highlight it when we get to the programming committee and we discuss debates and time allocations. Can we agree on that, Ntate Floyd?
No, we agree, Speaker. The context is that in the fifth parliament, the EFF with 25 members was only differentiated with 1 minute with a party which has got 1% only. It cannot repeat itself. That is the principle that we are trying to emphasize, that we've got 25 seats and then we speak for 4 minutes and then the Temba Kodi speaks for 3 minutes. So it cannot be. We can't be differentiated in that format. So it must have to change when we come to this arrangement now.
Deputy Chief Whip, you want to come in?
Thank you, Speaker. In the Fifth Parliament, because as the ANC, we understand that Parliament is a multi-party parliament, and the other smaller parties, were given 1 minute for a debate at previously. So we allow the process to give them at least 3 minutes, so that they can be able to express themselves. So that is the reason we allow that thing to happen, for them to have 3 minutes. So they cannot have more than that. So we are pleading that as a multi-party parliament, let's allow all parties to participate. Though we hear what the EFF is saying, but we want everyone to participate. Thank you. We can discuss this issue of time allocation maybe somewhere outside this meeting. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Omar.
Thank you. I still have a hand. Yes, Tata.
Well, Speaker, thank you very much. I think the
I agree with the progressive proposal of the EFF, because I think since we're discussing legacy issues here, Speaker, you'll bear with me. We agreed in principle more towards the end of the fifth Democratic Parliament, rather, that the minimum speaking time would be 4 minutes. And since the minimum speaking time would be 4 minutes, you can't have the EFF on 4 minutes, obviously, because of the 10% of the vote. So the base would, no, it wasn't 3 minutes. We changed 3 minutes to 4 minutes, but we never actually concretized it. So I think that's the departure point from where we should move as we have this discussion going forward.
Okay, can we agree, members, on this, that if it is not noted and in black and white, we're going to depend on people's recollections and we might not be accurate. Masivumeni ukuthi, one, we agree that all parties, irrespective of size, will have a voice in the National Assembly floor. We agree as much as possible that voice must be given reasonable time. And as a progressive parliament, we might say that the recommendation by the EFF might actually say that we need to relook at the formula and see how we adjust or continue. And that is why I was saying, can we take it there so that we also don't have a done, dusted, cast in iron position when it comes to subjects which might actually be of national importance, where you might actually not even want to look at individual small parties but might want to give all parties a voice in a particular subject that is in front of the House. So I would say that for now let's agree that principle applies, but that we understand the argument of the EFF that says we have grown and therefore there must be a distinction between the time allocated to us. And the same argument might come up from the Freedom Front Plus, which you better start looking at us differently because we have grown also. So I'm simply saying let us agree in principle to come back to this issue concretely and allow the administration to have crunched and come back to us and say this is the most reasonable. But we also agree that no party must get less than 3 minutes. Dr. Mulder?
Honourable Speaker, may I suggest, because this is a very difficult balancing act, all parties would like to speak for more time. That's the reality. If the administration, in crunching the numbers, could also look perhaps at the possibility of extending the time for debates, because that will also assist as one of the factors. If you've got more time, if you spend more time in a debate, it gives more possibilities for everybody.
Yeah, that is why I was saying it must depend on what we are debating about. On some matters, we might all need a minute to agree or to disagree. On some matters, some people, some parties might feel that this matter is so important that they need all the time allocated to them to make their whatever stance points known. Dr. Ndlozi?
Can we also, we agree, Speaker, tomorrow we'll discuss properly, but can we also agree with treating ministers as part of ANC time allocation? They must consider it because it becomes extremely unreasonable because also they repeat each other. But they are members of parliament. What will deal with it?
Yeah, can we agree to deal with it later and not go into it? In principle, we are agreeing that the castle can we move on to?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We are now dealing with allocation of whips, formula for appointment of whips. As indicated, we have given the three options. We've given them because some of these options have been applied previously. In the fifth parliament, we started with seven. In other words, for every seven members, a whip. And then there was a request to reconsider that. The formula was then adjusted where you had a whip for every 6.5 members. So we've given the three options. And if we retain 6.5, this is a scenario, ANC would get 35, DA 13, EFF would now get 7. I think they had 4, if I'm not mistaken. And then IFP 2, FF plus 2, ACTP 1. Then the principle had always been, Madam Speaker, to put together the numbers for the smaller parties. And if we follow that principle, you would then have 2 whips allocated to the smaller parties on all of these scenarios. So that is, those are the options we are putting to this forum for a decision. Thank you, ma'am. And of course, the implication is that if you have more whips, there are cost implications. If you have a number greater than these numbers, obviously it means that you're going to have to budget more than what you budget.
Members, may I get your views? The Deputy Chief Whip, majority, is there? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As the ANC, we want to support option 1, the 6.5. Thank you.
The agreement from the DA, can I hear Honorable Nkwankwa, can I hear Dr. Mulder?
Yes, of course we support option 1 as well, Speaker. And I want to say something here to maybe take this discussion forward and say, since in the fifth Democratic Parliament, Honorable Dudley of ACDP was made the whip of the smallest parties because of size. The ACDP at the time was the largest of the smallest parties, right? And other parties were allocated whips, as you can see here. And then that naturally means that since now we're the largest of the smallest parties, one of these whips will come to the UTM. Thank you.
Well, if a precedence was set, then we must follow that precedence. Deputy Mulder?
Chairperson, I would just like to second the proposal made by the Honourable Deputy Chief Whip that we adopt the 6.5 ratio.
Honourable Members, are we agreed? We adopt? Thank you very much.
No, we don't agree.
You don't agree?
FF Plus must have 1 whip.
Ma'am, the next item is now the composition of the subcommittee on the review of the NA rules. In terms of Rule 193, Sub-Rule 1E, the Rules Committee appoints the members of each subcommittee, and it also appoints one of the members as chairperson of that committee. We are putting forward a composition that was adopted previously of 8 members in that committee. It's not a decision-making structure, mainly technical in nature. It makes recommendations to the Rules Committee. And hence we are recommending that you have 8 members on the committee. And the principle that is applied is to give each party with 10 seats or more in the NA representation on the committee, whilst parties with less than 10 seats will determine who from among them will be their rep on the subcommittee. So 2 decisions, the composition and the chairperson of the committee for the review of rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we agree on the composition? We are agreed. And the second one is who chairs it? Okay, there is no decision, so it seems the chair will have to decide who chairs the committee. Whilst you are thinking, we will proceed with the next item.
Ma'am, we will now proceed.
No, that's why I was saying, whilst there are no takers, I will decide who will chair that committee. It's a subcommittee of rules anyway. Can we proceed?
Chair, through you, can we be given time to deal with this matter? Not now?
You will be given time, but believe you me, I will take the decision if you don't come back to me within 48 hours. Before tomorrow, you have the time. Yes.
Composition of the program committee. The composition of the program committee is prescribed in the rules. You have the speaker, deputy speaker, the leader of government business or representative, the house chairpersons, three house chairpersons of the NA, the chief whip, the deputy chief whip of the majority party, the whip of the majority party responsible for programming, and the number of representatives that the speaker may determine with the concurrence of the rules committee. In essence, Madam Speaker, what we are bringing here is that item H, the number of representatives that the speaker may determine. And we are proposing that that should be ANC, two members, chief whip of the opposition, DA, another two members, in addition to the chief whip of the opposition, and the EFF, two members, IFP, two, FF plus two, and other parties represented in the NA, one each. This will provide each party with representation on the committee. It's important to say that that committee takes decision by consensus. So the principle of majority does not really apply there. There is a deadlock breaking mechanism provided for in the rules in the event that the committee cannot reach a decision. That's the proposal. Thank you.
Are we agreed? Agreed. Can we move on?
Thank you, ma'am. We'll just request to get those names in preparation for tomorrow, because we have a program committee meeting tomorrow at 8:30.
Okay. The time, it's too early. 8:30, too early? Okay, it's the usual time for the NCOP. So, what will it suit to the members of the NA? What time for tomorrow? 9 o'clock it is, we give you. Okay, 9 o'clock tomorrow. The names must be in. We proceed?
We proceed to the establishment of portfolio committees. We start with a composition, Madam Speaker. And we are proposing one of two options. The one option is that you retain the composition you had in the 5th Parliament, which gives you 11 members, composed as follows: ANC 6, DA 2, EFF 1, and other parties 2. Or option 2, ANC, or 13 members, ANC 7, DA 3, EFF 1, and other parties 2. I think what is important to state here is that any member can sit in a committee and participate, even if you are not a member of that committee. That's the first thing. Secondly, parties are allowed to appoint alternate members. So even if a party had one member, they can still have another member, an alternate member, in the event that the main member is not available. We therefore propose that if this composition is adopted, or any of this, or the two, it should apply in respect of all the other committees, like your SCOPA, your Standing Committee on the Auditor General, and the finance committees that are established in terms of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and the Related Matters Act. So that is on the composition, Madam Speaker. With your permission, we can proceed to the portfolio committees recommended, or maybe we can deal with the composition first. And then
can we deal with the composition? The Honourable the Chief Whip.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. The ANC proposes option one. Thank you.
Deputy Speaker, the DA supports option one with the proviso that alternative members are included on the distribution lists of the committees. So they get agendas, minutes, etc.
Yes. Honourable Sim.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Yeah, we've been looking at this question of the other parties too. But we've been informed early on today that there were clusters of 42 members that were taken. Now, we must realize that it's going to be difficult for some of the parties to have representation on all the committees. But we've had special circumstances in the Fifth Parliament, for example, when we were dealing with the issue of land, where all parties were accommodated, you know, in that committee. There might be certain issues that require members from every party to be represented. And at that time, I'm saying that we should look at the composition of those ad hoc committees as we move forward. That's a principle that we accepted in the Fifth Parliament, and I think we should carry it to the Sixth Parliament.
Thank you. Dr. Mulder?
Chairperson, I just want to make the point that it means that 11 parties are grouped, or 12 are grouped together for purposes of portfolio committees, 11. It deals with 42 members, so it's going to take a little bit of time for us to come together and to sort out who's going to serve on which committee, because we've got to find some, try and find consensus amongst all the parties. But we'll do that as quickly as possible then.
Thank you very much. Dr. Nkonko?
My mind is to just agree with Honorable Singh and second him that there must be an allowance made in instances where we need to win opposition to send more members to portfolio committees so that we give effect to the principle of a multi-party democracy in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
We agree that all members of parliament can sit on any structure of parliament, participate, that the only difference comes when matters are taken to a vote. So all business of parliament is open to all members, irrespective. We have also agreed to a proposal from Honorable Singh that, and that also relates to the other part of debates in the House, depending on the nature or of the business before us, that you might want to relook at how you allocate space and time. So that principle will be carried through. Can we agree that that will be the thing, that all parties are welcome to sit in any structure? It is only at the point of taking of decisions that members or alternate members can vote. We are agreed. We are agreed. Can we move?
Madam Speaker, we now proceed to an extra 1A, which is a proposal on the establishment of committees. In terms of Rule 225 of the National Assembly, the Speaker, acting with the concurrence of the Rules Committee, must establish a range of portfolio committees, assign a portfolio of government affairs to each committee, and determine a name for each committee. An extra 1A, we first, just for completeness sake, give the committees as prescribed in the rules, the Standing Committee on Finance, Appropriations, Public Accounts, and the Auditor General. And there are also multi-party joint committees which will be dealt with in the Joint Rules Committee. But in terms of these proposals, page 205 of the document, we here give the proposed committees. You will notice that we have 29. That also includes the Standing Committee on Appropriations. And so we'd have the portfolio. I don't know, ma'am, if I should read all of them. But this Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Land Reform. It's not necessary. I thought as much.
Yeah, they are listed.
Yeah, they are listed there.
Towards the end of your...
Just pass it on.
Okay. Honourable members, have we all seen the proposed list? That is it?
Thank you very much, there is one committee here that we feel that needs to be included in the list of committees where we have oversight. This is an outstanding matter from the last Rules Committee, where the Speaker, then Speaker, ruled that political parties must get together and decide on this. But I think even whatever political parties may decide, the Constitution and a ruling by Justice McQueen, which I don't want to repeat here, emphasizes the fact that there should be oversight over all portfolio committees or all votes. And vote one, the presidency, has always been missing from the national scene. If you look at the provinces have a committee called Portfolio Committee on the Office of the Premier, all the provinces. But here we do not have oversight in terms of the spending in vote one, the presidency. And I'm placing this matter on the table because it's a constitutional imperative that we oversee all votes within government. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
Honourable Members, there's a proposal. Honourable Steenhuisen.
Madam Speaker, thank you very much. We've always been in support of a standalone committee for vote one, the presidency, and I think it is essential. We would support that. But I do know there was a brief discussion in the Chief Whip's forum this morning, and it was agreed that parties would enter into discussions with each other over the next while to do it. But I think it makes a huge amount of sense, and it is one of the gaps. The only issue here which I would place on as a matter of concern in this list is a matter that we raised in the Fifth Parliament, and that was in justice and correctional services. Because of the workload of justice, the correctional services side of the portfolio got squeezed out quite substantially, and it led to a situation where there was a complete imbalance in the manner in which those matters were discussed in that. So I would imagine if we are not wanting to create a separate correctional services portfolio, then what we need to do is to make sure that when the House Chair of Committees is elected, that it's made very clear to committee chairs that they must give equal oversight to the various matters, and that one doesn't suffer because of the workload of the other. Because I really think that we dropped the ball on correctional services in the Fifth Parliament.
Okay, the second point you take is noted. Can we get to the main?
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. It's true that we touched on this matter in the Chief Whip's forum, and our proposal was that we defer the matter and deal with it outside this forum and outside the Chief Whip's forum, because we still need to look at it. We understand the need for accountability for the executive. So we are not saying that it will not be done or it will be done, but we are saying that let's allow be given enough chance to deal with this matter outside the formal.
In other words, parties still want to go and consider and caucus, and will come back to us. Honourable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. I do support the view on the oversight committee over the presidency, given the fact that one of the deficiencies in the Fifth Parliament was that scathing judgment which indicated that we failed in our oversight function over the presidency. And so I appreciate the fact that it will be considered. On the second issue relating to the Justice and Correctional Services Committee, I've served since 1999 on the Justice Committee, and I want to just support Honourable Steenhuisen that the workload, it is almost impossible to do the workload of justice and correctional services. And my experience, I argued it continually in the last parliament that it should be split, and regrettably it wasn't followed, but the workload is very substantial, and we suffered in oversight, we weren't able to fully visit the number of magistrates, courts and other institutions, correctional services. So I'd ask you to seriously consider that as well. Thank you, Speaker.
Thank you very much. I think that it does not, it does say that we need to go back and relook at this matter. Justice, I think, also gets, they have to sometimes take away a week, sit in the other forum which have to do, which means that those members who are left here, we might want to really relook at the composition. And if we can, Chief Whip of the Majority Party and Honourable Steenhuisen, can apply ourselves and come back and maybe even re-look at the numbers. I do remember in 1994 that one of the biggest committees was the Joint Standing Committee on Defence, and it is because it had a lot of work, and therefore they could split the work amongst themselves. So I'm not saying that we must consider having a standing committee on justice and corrections, but we might want to really go and consider how best we can assist this committee to do its job properly. Honourable Janji.
accept that, Honorable Speaker, that that's not the only committee that is peculiar. For the sixth term, there are about four of those. You've got human settlements, water and sanitation, a service delivery kind of portfolio, which might even be much bigger than what your justice. So as you conclude, I think the issue that as we consider, because I think the best approach is the last point he made about chairs being, very considerate within that kind of a cluster, that kind of a portfolio committee.
Thank you, Speaker. And to add on that one, I would like to add the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. That need also to be relooked, as it suffers a lot if the NCOP is outside Parliament. Thank you. And also that some members who used to serve in that committee were chairpersons of committees and whips. So we need to relook at that because it suffers a lot at sometimes. Thank you.
I agree, Speaker, that we must discuss this in a different meeting, but we don't agree that we should bloat committees. We must have so many committees and split departments and ministries. It's not necessary. Because like committees mostly sit for 2 days in a week, so they must just sit for 3 days or 4 days. If they must go there knowing that there's work that has to be done in terms of all these issues. We can't unnecessarily bloat committees. It's not necessary. Even that thing of vote one must be part of DPME, of planning and monitoring. There is no substantial implementable issues that are dealt with there. You can then be able to club them and still hold the president accountable within the framework of one portfolio committee. So I think some of those things are just grandstanding, really. So let us deal with it in the next committee.
Let's deal with it in the next committee. But also please consider that we do intend to have a bit of in-focus training for separate portfolio committees, just so that we, because we've noticed that we have many new people who are for the first time becoming public representatives, and therefore we might need to really give some grounding into issues and how to deal with issues, including tactics of how you split the work in a committee to ensure that all areas are covered. Because if you don't do, this is a former portfolio and joint standing committee chairperson speaking, if you don't at the beginning of the term split the focus and the priorities of your committees, work will fall in between the cracks. So it is also a matter of planning. But also we have been cracking our heads about what support we are giving to committees. Don't know what happened to this in the different years of Parliament, but portfolio committees, for as long as you can work out your program, nothing says you can't sit every day of the week if you have work before you. No, honestly, nothing says you cannot sit every day of the week as a portfolio committee and make sure that you do that. So this thing of a committee sitting only once a week, we should really kick against it. And simply saying we are going to go back to the drawing board, look at how we capacitate not only the members but also the administration, look at all those things that mitigate against members being able to sit and do their work, and probably come back to all of us as Parliament and say these are our findings, these are our recommendations, just so that we can push ourselves to make sure that we really can do what we are here for. Honorable Ndlozi?
No, Speaker, just a small point. You know, people can't go out there demand the reduction of a cabinet, campaign the whole year that no, cabinet must be smaller, and then come here and want to have many committees. It's proper hypocrisy and grandstanding. We must work in this parliament. We said we want a reduced cabinet. We're not even happy. It must still further go down. So you must anticipate the fact that ultimately it might even come to 23 portfolios, and we must work. So maybe we must cement this debate with reminding honorable members what they kept telling South Africans during elections about the reduced cabinet, and then come here and want more committees. It's not going to work.
Honorable Senior, isn't are you on this last point?
Well, maybe with my matric I can give the honorable Inglosia a lesson in the separation of powers between the executive and the legislative body. We have a completely different role to play, and it's an oversight role than what an executive and how it is composed. And we have a role to ensure that we have executive oversight over all organs of state. The point I was simply making is that in the last fifth parliament, there were some organs of state who got away without having sufficient oversight. Didn't necessarily say we have to have separate committees. The suggestion I made very clearly was that committee chairpersons need to be impressed upon to ensure that they don't let some of the organs of state to which they should be accountable to this parliament off the hook.
Honourable members, all of you are right. All of you are right, and I'm not going to open this for further debate. You are all looking at different portions, and when you make them all together, it says that we really have to reconsider how we are doing business as Parliament and make sure that that business is done to the best of our ability. Can we agree on that? And let this matter go. Thank you very much. Can we proceed?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Speaker. So this is adopted, and that's what will be published in the ATC. And the next item is really for information, Madam Speaker. Lost track of my pages. The bodies that the National Assembly must... yes. We have the Judicial Service Commission, Magistrates Commission, PAP, SADC, PF, CPA, IPU, PAMED, and ACPEU. We just gave this for information. There may be more bodies. But we thought that members should be aware that at a given point, the NA must appoint members who are going to serve on these bodies. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ndadesh Bamba?
No, I understand the Secretary of the National Assembly is saying we'll deal with it later on, but I had thought that in principle we'll agree on what would be the composition of the JSE delegation in terms of party representation, to say 2 ANC, 1 DA, all of those things there. If we're going to adopt the same formula of Fifth Parliament, same with Pan-African Parliament, with Magistrates Commission, with SADC Parliamentary Forum and all of those things, so that we then leave here with clarity of what is allocated to each party in terms of... I don't think that can be a difficult exercise. In principle is that the EFF must at least have one representative in all those committees except PAMED and the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association. And it's a firm, because we're the third biggest party and we're the only party that grew significantly, not the...
Honorable Shibambo, don't get baited. Finish your point.
That is the principal position. So let us then deal with that. Because also you should remember, I'm sure the ANC is going through the same exercise. We should go to our mandating platforms to say that this is what is available for deployment and who would deploy. So we should deal with this. By the time we come back to Parliament, we do not want to convene mandating platforms to deal with all of those issues.
I understand you to be saying we should either stick to the Fifth Parliament's composition, or if we want to, relook at it, but make sure that people are represented. Mr. Mulder, you're honourable?
Yes, Chairperson, I hear what Mr. Shibambo is saying, but the problem is with those that Mr. Kaza just mentioned now, there are different prescripts in terms of the Constitution says, for example, JSE has to be 3 from the ruling party and 3 from the opposition. So we can't just take our formula and implement that as such. We have to look at these things differently in terms of what the prescripts are. It's not exactly what that we can decide.
And we agree that we will look at it because Secretary says to me he does not have that information right now. Look at it. By tomorrow should have distributed it so that we get along with that. Because we also, those of us who went to the PAP, for instance, noticed that the South African component at the PAP was removed from the SADC PF. And all other countries actually have an intersection between the two, because it is a strength. So that those will be some of the things that we will be looking at when we send people out there. So shall we agree that by tomorrow we shall have looked at how we divide up so that parties are able to then start bringing in their recommendations to serve on all these bodies? Thank you very much. ANC, you had said you must be given time to deliberate on the issue of the subcommittee. Do you want to do it now or later? Honourable members, that being our last item on the agenda, I must bid you goodbye. Thank you very much for attending. Thank you.